Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Roving with the Arts here on KSJE in Farmington, New Mexico, your cultural beacon for the Four Corners. And I have in the studio today one of my favorite musicians in town. This program is called Local Favorites, and I'm asking each of these musicians to explain and tell a little bit about their favorite music. So today is Tennille Taylor, who was with me maybe 2 years ago now already. I can't hardly believe that, but on a program that I called Making Money Making Music. And Tennille has an extremely wonderful, active violin studio here in town called Tennille's Violin House, right? So I'm going to start this from the back of my questions to everybody about the pandemic and how you've managed to survive both financially and emotionally and musically during this last 11 months. So yeah. Welcome, first of all, Tennille, and thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me. So, yeah, financially, emotionally, and musically, that's an excellent question. I mean, financially, somehow, I mean, studio-wise, it has worked out because of Zoom. And because of all that beginning research that showed that wearing a mask and staying 6 feet apart and, you know, having plastic dividers and things was beneficial to stopping the virus. So from March, when the shutdown began, through the middle of July, I was completely on Zoom. But at least I was still able to teach. And students were still able to learn and practice and play music. And actually, that really kept me going and kept me playing also. Not only, you know, demoing for my kids over Zoom, but also doing quite a bit of practicing on my own. Then we were able to go to more in-person lessons. I still have about half my students on Zoom only. They're either living with, you know, high-risk individuals at home. That's usually the case. So some of those kids are still on Zoom only and have been for a year now. The other kids come masked and parents come masked. No extra siblings attend where they used to, and it was good for them to learn and experience a music lesson too, but now I discourage that and have my studio divided with like big plastic shower curtains basically that are totally see-through. So we just can't share a music stand and things like that anymore, but it's going fine. And the kids are learning, and all of my parents are so grateful that I found a way to keep going.
Great.
You know, financially, obviously, a lot was lost in terms of concertizing and all the extra, like, church gigs and things that I get on the side, especially, like, Christmas, Easter. Like, I didn't realize how much I depend on those things. Mm-hmm. Not depend, but they're just extra, you mm-hmm. know, and I'm grateful for that. And we'll be more grateful for that in the future.
But you were able to do some concerts with the San Juan Symphony, the virtual concerts, right?
And a couple of virtual church concerts and things, too. So I've definitely still been able to play some. It's just really different not having a live audience, for sure.
Yeah.
But it's definitely kept me at least partially motivated to keep practicing and to at least have those little experiences to play music with other people, which is what I've missed the most. Like, it's not performing that I miss. It's, you know, the social aspect of music, which I think has had the most emotional effect on me. I'm kind of a homebody, so I'm okay just being at home with my dog, but and practicing and, you know, in the garden and stuff. But playing music with other people is one of my main social experiences. So I have missed out on that a lot.
Well, it'll come back. And I think it'll come back with a vengeance, actually. I think it's going to be an explosion once we're allowed back into the social part of making music.
And I think there'll be a higher appreciation and maybe even
so
a demand for more quality, I guess. Like, I don't know how to say it. Like, people are going to be more picky about what they're going to, I think. Because, you know, hopefully they realize now that being home is okay. We don't have to be busybodies and be somewhere all the time. Yep. It's okay to be home.
Right. I think you're absolutely right. And especially in the beginning when people, I think, will pick and choose carefully.
Right.
How often they want to go out.
Exactly.
And what they want to see and hear and et cetera, you know.
Because now they've learned to cook and they like staying home.
I love it.
Yeah.
But now, thanks for that introduction, because I think it was important for people to know somebody who's kind of in the trenches and how you're how you've coped with that, you know.
Yeah.
But the first piece that you've chosen for some reason is Brahms' Requiem as a very influential piece, I'm going to say, probably in your life. Or
right.
What is it about the Requiem that's great for you?
So one of the feeder questions that you sent to me was a profound music experience that you've had in the last 10 years. And honestly, like, I've had a lot of really great playing musical experiences in the last 10 years, but one that really stood out was the Brahms Requiem with the San Juan Symphony and Durango Choral Society and Caliente, because I've loved the piece for a really long time, but had never gotten to play it. And I had no idea how awesome Brahms' writing was from the center of the orchestra. There's like two against three happening all the time, and there's just this ocean of sound occurring all the time underneath that gorgeous backdrop of like the most amazing lyrics and just vocal harmonies you've ever experienced in your life. I literally was like fighting back tears the entire concert. It was just, and the piece isn't hard, it's not difficult. You can literally just sit there and enjoy the music while playing along. It was amazing.
Let's hear it right away, okay? We're going to hear the seventh. We hear
the last movement. The seventh movement.
Okay.
Only because we can't listen to the whole
thing. Yeah, yeah. So. But we would encourage people to yes, listen to the whole thing.
Definitely.
Yeah. Here we go. We just heard the seventh and final movement of Brahms' magnificent Requiem. And we were just talking in the break about there's a lot of requiems that we really we're drawn to those for some reason. Whether it's the fact that it's all these vocal forces as well as the orchestra, and in the foray the organ comes in as well, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm talking with Tennille Taylor, my guest today on my show called Local Favorites. And as I told you, she's at the top of my list of favorites, so it's great to finally get you in the studio. Up next, you chose...
The Tchaikovsky Violin Concerto. And I chose that because I started violin when I was 6, and when I was 8, it was kind of a profound day. I was in third grade. I was waiting for my mom. She picks me up from school, and I get in the car, and she just looks at me, and she's like, "You have to listen to this."
It was on a cassette, wasn't it?
This was a cassette. It was a cassette. I was just going to say. So she was part of one of those mail order things that you did back then, mm-hmm. called The Joy of Great Music. Mm-hmm. And my mom had had piano lessons and ballet all growing up, so she had a pretty good collection of classical music. Just as a ballerina, you gain that. Of course, it was on record. But she had joined this subscription, so they would send a new tape, like, you know, every couple of weeks in the mail. And so she had gotten her new tape, The Joy of Great Music, and on it was this violin piece. And she said, "You have never heard violin music like this before." And she put it in, and it was the Tchaikovsky Violin Concerto. And for 29 minutes long, or however that long that first movement is, we just sat in the car, jaw dropped. And, you know, I was playing... I don't know, you know, beginning a Suzuki Book 2 at the time. And this is nothing like that.
No.
And ever since then, the Tchaikovsky has just been the concerto for the violin. Like, if it's on a program, I will travel to see it. Like, it's just so great.
And you were how old? You were 6 or 8?
I was 8. So I started violin when I was 6. So I had an idea of, you know, I'd been playing for 2 years. I knew, like, how hard it is to make a good sound.
Right.
And so it was just, that was it. It's always been my favorite.
Who were you taking lessons with at 8 years old?
I had just switched to Howard Chrisman.
Uh-huh.
6 and 7, I took from Jan Ryan, who was, she lived here then and had moved away.
Uh-huh.
And so then I had switched to Howard Chrisman. Mm-hmm. And had been studying with him for a little while and was probably on the way to violin lessons with him right then, because that's the only reason my mom would pick me up from school. But so I chose this recording just because it has always been, it's always been my favorite. It's a lot of years now of it being my favorite. And my current favorite violinist is Julia Fischer, a German violinist. And I actually got to see her in November of 2019.
Ooh, wonderful.
Play the Mendelssohn with New York. And that was awesome. So I was just I'll just pick her Tchaikovsky for today.
There's a lot to choose when you go to YouTube or somewhere.
Yeah.
I mean, so many people have recorded this. It's a wonderful, wonderful piece. And we're going to indulge Tennille and play the entire first movement, folks. It's 30 minutes long. So grab another cup of coffee, sit back and enjoy some absolutely exquisite violin playing.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Tennille, I can't imagine why you like that. We just heard. Tell us what we just heard.
The Tchaikovsky Violin Concerto played by Julia Fischer. The first movement.
First movement, mm-hmm. right. Wow, what spectacular music, isn't it? And you can't. You're almost. Even sitting here, I'm on the edge of my seat just listening to that last.
You know, I always giggle, seconds. Especially with Tchaikovsky. It seems like Tchaikovsky, especially, that whenever I'm like driving and Tchaikovsky comes on, I can be like in the ugliest part of town or ugly landscape, and I'm like, all of a sudden it's beautiful.
Oh, how nice.
Because of Tchaikovsky. He makes everything better.
So, oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Okay, you've chosen next some music by Schumann. And not only this is music that you're playing, which is really cool for us.
Yes.
Tell a little about how this came about and what it is, because I know you've talked about this piece before with me and you're really taken by it.
Yeah. So, you know, Robert Schumann had an interesting life, and I'm not sure that's why I'm so drawn to it, other than the fact that this piece of music is just so great. And I have a pianist friend from Durango, Kristen Chen. And we started playing music together when I first met her, which is right after I opened my violin studio here and started teaching her 3-year-old daughter to play the violin. And she's like, well, I'm a pianist, so I'd be happy to accompany your studio and we should play together.
Wow. Yeah.
And she has a master's degree in piano performance. It was like, great, let's do it. And she said, I don't know, after we'd been playing a couple years together, various things, she said, have you heard this? We're going to have to find some more people. And so shortly after that, it was probably, you know, 2008 or so, we performed this piece with, so it's violin, viola, cello, and piano. So piano quartet. And we played it back then, and it was wonderful. And so now a few years ago, we got to do it again, and probably been 10 years between. But we were kind of trying to decide what to play at Durango Chamber Music Festival. And she's like, what about doing the Schumann again? And so we thought it'd be a great idea. So this time through, it was really special for me because not only did I get to play with Kristen again, but the violist in the quartet is my good friend Corey McBride, who is actually one of my grown-up students now, who has switched to viola and has made this incredible viola player out of himself. And I really love playing with him. And then his friend from Albuquerque, Ian Brody, who is a wonderful cellist. And so it was just a really good, fun group. We enjoyed playing together, making music together, and, you know, talking about music together and just hanging out and having pizza on the break, too. So the recording is not wonderful. It's not super high quality or anything. It's literally just the recording that was taken off. And sadly, the piano is much louder than us because of the placement of the mic with the piano. But it is a piano quartet. It's not a string trio and piano. Schumann was a pianist. The piano part is actually the most important.
Oh, there you go.
So it's okay. So I have the recordings for the first movement and the third movement. The first movement is just, it's great. It's powerful. The strings get to play really nice harmonies together with the piano being obviously virtuosic because of Schumann's familiarity with the piano. And then the third movement, I don't know what I can say about the third movement. If you don't,
it's sublime.
Yeah, and if you don't have a soul, you won't feel anything. But if you do, you will.
Well, what a great way to introduce a piece of music. And I said earlier that you were one of my favorites that are coming out, and I got to tell you why. You and I have played for a few years now together in this thing called the Young Audience.
Things
that we do in the school system. And I, of all the people who sit in that group, every time that we've performed, you are the most magnetic, and you are the most, the kids swarm around you at the end of these programs just to be near you. And I find that an extremely admirable approach to life and obviously to music and kids. So,
well, thank you. I mean, the thing is like at the school visits, I try really hard to make sure that I'm making it obvious how much I enjoy what I'm
doing.
You know, because a lot of musicians don't, even though they really are enjoying it, they're very serious and they're still and they're not smiling. And they're, of course, you can't when you're playing wind and brass, but like, it's fun. Baking music together is so fun. And I really like the kids to know that.
I can tell every
time. And it was the same with this Schumann performance, too. Right. It was a highlight for sure.
Let's listen to some Schumann. This is the first movement of his piano quartet.
Correct.
We just heard a couple of minutes of the first movement of the Schumann Piano Quartet with Tennille Taylor playing violin. And now we're going to hear the entire third movement from that same live concert.
Thank you.
We just heard the third movement of Schumann's Piano Quartet with my featured guest today, Tennille Taylor, one of my local favorites, telling you the story of her life in music and what are her favorites. But before we get to the last piece on the concert, or on the program today, Tennille, I need to ask you, what's your second favorite instrument?
My second favorite instrument is the violin.
So wait, whoa, what's your first favorite then is what?
Is the cello. Ah. I just, you know, I think when I picked the violin, I didn't really know that cello was an option.
Oh.
And now it's really too late to go back. And and I really do love the violin, but I really love the cello. And I think in terms of, obviously, I love playing the violin more than the cello because I'm not very good at the cello, but man, if I could sit front row for the Dvorak Cello Concerto every day, I totally would.
Whoa.
And in fact, there was a time in my life where I was living in California and this orchestra was playing it, and I literally went to all three concerts and sat in the front row.
Did you happen to hear the interview with Sandy Kiefer?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And she had the same experience in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
With the cello, with Rostropovich, though.
Gosh, it was Rostropovich.
Amazing story that she told, too.
Yeah.
So cello, well, that's, you know, how perfect is that? Because that's what we're going to end the show with today.
Absolutely.
And this is with Yo-Yo Ma, and it seems like we hear him almost every day on the radio. If you turn it like Sirius XM or something, he's there. What a force. What an incredible. I remember watching him do all the Bach cello suites.
Yes.
Nonstop, memorized.
Right at the beginning of the pandemic, yeah.
Holy moly.
Yep. Didn't even take a drink of water. Did not adjust in his chair. And that's hours. It's like 2.5 hours of music.
It's just phenomenal.
He's amazing. And I actually have had a chance to see him play Dvorak Concerto, and I've seen him, I think, 4 times live, and he's incredible. He's such a wonderful performer, but in addition to that, I just love the Dvorak Concerto so much because it shows what the cello can really do. And, you know, often in orchestra, you don't get to see what the cello can really do. And the second movement is one that just tears my heart out. There's a whole history to this concerto if you don't know about the story of Dvorak and what this concerto meant to him, and the other melodies that he's quoting in it are very important. It's all in reference to the true love of his life, which was really his sister-in-law, but he had to marry the other sister. And
you've got to come back to me.
Yeah, there's so much.
We could do a whole program on just this.
Great.
This concerto.
And
we have to call it quits here, unfortunately, but and we're also going to have to play just a portion of this
second
movement of the concerto, and I'm going to absolutely have Tennille come back and tell us more. I mean, it could make like a Netflix thing with it.
Just on Dvorak, I can do that, yeah.
So thanks very much for coming in, and we're going to finish the program with Tennille's favorite instrument, which I think that's so cool. Yo-Yo Ma playing a portion of the second movement of the Dvorak Concerto for Cello and Orchestra. And I want to say goodbye one more time to you, Tenille, and thank you again for coming in, and I'm looking forward to our next adventure together.
That sounds great. Thank you so much for having me.
It's been a pleasure. You've been listening to KSJE here in Farmington, New Mexico, your cultural beacon for the Four Corners, and my name is Mick Hess, and we were roving with the arts today.
Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.